what I just said, and that is someone who has a consistent meditation of God's Word. Consistent meditation of God's Word. Look at the end of verse 2 with me. It says that the blessed man or woman doesn't merely delight in the law of the Lord, but on this law he meditates day and night. He meditates day and night. And what this means is not that you stay up all night long, you get no sleep, or you don't go to work, you just read the Bible all day. Okay, God knows we have to work. God knows that we need sleep and rest. Again, this is what he's talking about is a consistent and repetitive meditation on God's Word. Having a consistent and repetitive routine of gleaning from God's Word, reading and studying God's Word. And so, again, this could be something that right off the rip in the morning is generally when I like to read the Bible and have a devotional time with the Lord. But there's no prescriptive time throughout the day. I mean, maybe for you it's an evening time while you're on your lunch break, before dinner. I don't know what's going to work best for you, but pray about that. Pray about that, and if that's not implemented in your life, then pray for strength and help to get that implemented, to get a good devotional time and repetitive and consistent meditation on God's Word. And when you read God's Word, pray God's Word. Meditate on it. Reread. Don't be so concerned with quantity. Rather, focus on quality. Don't be concerned how much of God's Word can I read each day to say that I did. But rather, what did I get from God's Word of what I did read today? That's the focus we need to be on. So as Christians, we must make a daily practice to read, study, pray, seeing God's Word in our lives. And when we do, we will be soaked with grace. We will be covered in, joy and peace. And we will have strength and a confidence that we are abiding in God. Thirdly, the way of the righteous provides a constant source of life, vitality, and spiritual nourishment. These kind of go together, right? How do you get this life, vitality, and spiritual nourishment? Well, you consistently meditate on God's Word. Why should I consistently meditate on God's Word? Well, it's because I want to delight in the things of God and in His Word. So these are kind of all interconnected here. But we see this in verse 3. If we take a look at verse 3, it says that the blessed man or woman is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I love this imagery here. The word streams, it actually refers to irrigation canals. I read that last night. It refers to irrigation canals that would travel through and outside of the city that would provide irrigation for fresh water to be moved and transported from one location to another. Right? And those trees that were planted near that, they would have a constant and consistent source of water drawing from those irrigation canals at all times. Right? And in its proper season, it would bear fruit. Its leaf would not die and wither out, and there would be prospering from that growth. One thing I want to call your attention to is that the scripture promises that the tree will yield fruit, and it will yield fruit in its season. Maybe you're in a season today where you're saying, Connor, I hear what you're saying. I'm doing what you're preaching from the text, but I don't feel like there's any fruit. I am just dry as a piece of toast. And I want to say to you that maybe it's not a particular season you're in where you're going to have abounding fruit from this tree. Maybe you're not a particular season where, you're going to be ripe for harvest. And it's okay because it says right here in the text that that fruit will be yielded in its season, meaning that there's an off season and a season for growth, a season for tending that tree, a season for development, and then there's a season for harvest. And so maybe you're in that development stage where you're just struggling with some things or working some things out. Life's not looking exactly maybe how you expected it to look. there's not a whole lot of visible fruit there. And I would just say to you that maybe that's exactly where God has you right now. And that's okay. Stay faithful. Stay close to the irrigation canal that is the Word of God, that is Jesus Christ Himself as the water of life. And you keep on keeping on in the faith, because your season's coming. And it may not be right around the corner, but it will come eventually. Because the seasons change, the time for every season under heaven. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but your leaf will not wither through that. One of my favorite verses from the Gospel of John is John 7:37-39, talking about this constant source of life and vitality and nourishment that comes from someone who is living in the will of God and obeying Jesus. Jesus stands up on the last day of the feast, the great day, and he cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow canals of living water." That's what Jesus is saying. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." But brothers and sisters, Jesus promises here that those who believe in him, those who follow him, as the scripture has said, out of our hearts will flow a canal of living water. It's not going to be quenched. It's not going to go out. It's going to be fresh every day, and it's always going to be there for us to draw from and seek spiritual nourishment, life, and vitality from. Fourthly, the way of the righteous bears fruit for God, right? Again, also interconnected. How do we bear fruit for God? We stay connected to the canal. We stay abiding in the will of God, and in our season, it will yield good fruit. It says, again, as we've seen, yield its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and all that it does, he prospers. Chapter 1, verse 3 says there. Paul also picks up on this. He makes some statements in Colossians. He says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." We bear fruit for every good work. We grow in the knowledge of God. We grow in the knowledge of God. Sometimes that is done in a dark place. Sometimes that's done in a place of suffering. Sometimes that's done in a place of despondency. But you can trust that even in darkness, even in despondency, there's still development. There's still development. There's still growth in the knowledge of God. Because Jesus is the perfect example of that. He fully obeyed and fully, lived out the will of God, the will of the Father in his life, and yet his life was contained with the greatest seasons of darkness that ever could be imagined. The crucifixion of an innocent man. He experienced that. John 15:8 also says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So again, the way of the righteous bears good fruit for God. And we can do this by abiding in the vine and by abiding in the Word of God. Finally and lastly, while we do these works, while we're abiding, we can trust that the way of the righteous is known by God and God keeps us through Jesus. The way of the righteous is known by God, and God keeps them righteous through Jesus. Let's take a look at the beginning of 6, verse 6. It says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. I love what Paul says in Galatians 4:9 here. He says, "But now that you have come to know God," or rather to be known by God. See, it's wonderful to know God, right? I mean, that's eternal life. In John 17:3, as it says right there, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But the only thing better than knowing God is to know God and being known by Him. And that is a promise that Paul gives in Galatians 4 there, that when we come to follow Jesus, when we come to believe in Him for the forgiveness of our sins, we don't just come to know the perfect revelation of the Father, Jesus Christ, we come to actually be known by God. God knows us personally. God knows us intimately. God knows us more about ourselves than we know about ourselves. And that's a great promise of God there, to be known by God and for Him to know our way. And again, talking about the way we live our lives, who we live our lives for, the worldview that we have is known by God, because God is the one who's revealed it to us. God is the one who's shown us the way, ultimately in His Son, Jesus Christ. So, as we move to conclusion today, brothers and sisters, I want to give you four practical takeaways. I want to give you four points of application of how we can live a blessed life. That's the big question. How can we do it? And again, there's more that the Bible teaches about this, but those are four things that I want to give you. Number one, I've already hit on this a little bit, ensure you have a regular diet of God's Word. Ensure you have a regular diet of God's Word. This is not profound. This is not something new you've never heard before. This is just a basic truth that we need a good diet. Right? You want to be healthy. You want to be strong. You got to have a good diet. And it's that simple. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. If we're constantly listening to ungodly counsel, like the way of the wicked does, where we don't have a good diet in our lives. We have to avoid that and rather listen to the counselors contained in the authors of Scripture. And from that, we can begin to walk in the will of God and be blessed as we do it. Number two, we want to reject the empty wisdom of the world. We want to reject the empty wisdom of the world. We want to reject foolishness. We want to reject sin. We want to reject, that which characterizes this world. And we want to avoid those things in our lives. And rather, we want to put on Christ, put off the old person, and walk in the newness of our new identity in Jesus. We don't have to resort to our own wisdom anymore. We don't have to listen to the horoscopes. We don't have to listen to the hotshot TV and radio hosts anymore. We can rather find true wisdom and true truth in God's Word. Thirdly, let's find our sustenance in Jesus. Find your sustenance in Jesus. What does sustenance mean? Sustenance means substance. I mean, it means, what provision, what provides for us, what gives us nourishment, what helps us and gives us strength. Let it be Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He has all that we need. He is the bread that we can feast on. All who come to Him will never be hungry. All who believe in Him will never be thirsty. John chapter 6 says, so let's feast on Jesus. Let's draw strength and nourishment from Him and make Him our sustenance. Fourthly and finally, let's trust that we have a firm foundation in Jesus upholding our lives. If you are practicing the Word of God, then you are living your life on the rock, Matthew 7 says. If you are obeying the Word of God, then you have a firm foundation that even the wind, when it comes and drives the chaff away, you are the stalk that remains. You are the firmly rooted tree that, yeah, maybe you're going to be shaken a little bit, but you're not going to fall over. Yeah, maybe you're going to be swayed from left to right a little bit, but you're not going to be uprooted. Because you're planted by the irrigation canals, and you have good, clean water that you can draw from through Jesus and Jesus' words. And so trust that you have a firm foundation upholding your life this day. Brothers and sisters, let's remember as we go forth this week, a blessed life does not come from money, it doesn't come from materialism, it doesn't come from social media influence, it doesn't even come from self-help or trouble-free promise books, but rather comes from turning away from sin and rejecting the way of the wicked, turning to God and obeying the way of the righteous that is contained in the Word of God. So let's go forth and live out that and extol Him. Give Him praise. Give Him glory as we do. Let me wrap this up in a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today again. I just pray that, Lord God, everybody in this room, maybe could take away one or two things. It's a lot said, but maybe one or two things that all of us could glean and implement in our lives, in the practice of our lives today, Lord God, and apply it. And I just pray, Lord, that you go forth and prepare the way for us this week. Prepare those who we'll meet and interact with. And prepare, Lord God, us for that. That we may walk in your blessing, and we may obey you, and we may find our joy and sustenance in you. Lord, we thank you, and we truly do extol you, Lord God, for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name.